But Matthew chapter 9, so Matthew's the first gospel you'll find in the New Testament, and then you flip to chapter 9. We're going to read verses 35 to 38, Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields." So, Lord, help us to be on both sides of that equation, to ask, but also to be the ones who are sent out. So, Lord, open up our hearts this morning to how we can do that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and welcome to our Vision Sunday 2025. And this is an exciting and important morning each year where we kind of reflect on where we are as a church and where we're going, and often kind of introducing a new idea or ministry or direction for the church. And these messages are sort of like time capsules over the years where we can mark what has happened as a church, but also, more importantly, look ahead to where God might be calling us. And before we dive into today's text as a way to look forward and cast vision and talk about this year's theme of kind of exploring new horizons, let's first take a quick look back at 2024 and where we've been and all that God has done. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that last year was quite likely the most significant year in the 60-plus year history of our church. And why do I say that? Well, starting with the obvious, just what the eye can see, is that we just completely reimagined and renovated and expanded our ministry spaces around the church. And officially, just meaning based on maximum occupancy, we expanded the capacity of the sanctuary here from 100 or by 172, or by about 60%, so from 288 to 460 as far as maximum capacity is concerned. And, you know, I still just stand totally amazed and really humbled before the Lord that we did this last year. I mean, although there was a plan to renovate, this was actually not the plan, but the Lord sort of just had mercy on us, and people were amazed at how quickly and how, you know, really all things considered, how easily, in a way, we did this and it all came together. I mean, we didn't hire any architects or designers or big-time contracting companies, and I'm not even saying that was a great idea, but the Lord just gave us incredible favor, and by multiple estimations, we did this for just hundreds of thousands less than would have been expected, partly because so many of you gave sacrificially of your time and your skills and your labor and your resources. It was such a community efforts. And, you know, when we step out in faith like this, the Lord responds, the Lord sends, and the Lord provides. And I've seen this principle at work over and over again. When you show the Lord that you're serious about the harvest, not just talk about it, the Lord sends. Because the Lord of the harvest, as it says here in verse 36, sees the great mass of people who are harassed and helpless and hurting, and he has compassion on them. But the question is, where can the Lord send a hurting heart in need? Where are the workers? And we're not doing a perfect job by any means, but I applaud this church for trying, you know, for doing something. As the great Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, once said, "Brothers and sisters, do something." Like, do something. And I think all he was trying to communicate was that the harvest is so plentiful that we can't just stay content and comfortable in what we're doing. And we haven't as a church. And as has been the case every year since 2018, we've experienced, you know, record growth and amount of people reached. And here's just kind of a picture of the consistent growth over the last 10 or so years. And the summary is that we've grown from, you know, 48 to 272 in Sunday worship, kind of on average. So about six times the amount of people, or approximately kind of 500% growth. And not only did we break the 300 barrier for the first time ever for a regular service in 2024, but then by the last several months of the year, we were actually averaging over 300 people. So we had over 500 people attend our Christmas Eve services. Several times this year, over 100 kids were ministered to in our regular weekly program through Kids Church and preteens and youth. We had over 75 people participated in Alpha this year, and we baptized a record 20 people in 2024. So it's a bit of an understatement to say that the Lord is kind of just up to something and doing something, a special work here. And I take it very, very seriously. And I hope that you do as well. Why do I take it so seriously? And why do I believe there is and should be a heightened sense of responsibility and urgency here at Oceanside? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Or we could say, the harvest is plentiful, but growing and evangelistic, Jesus-centered churches that are reaching and discipling people and mobilizing believers are few. And it breaks my heart to say that, but it's reality, which is why I take what's happening here so seriously. And we have a great responsibility to really lean in to what the Lord is doing here, because it's kind of rare. It's not happening everywhere. A recent publication sent out by our Fellowships Multiplying Network tells us that most congregations across all denominations are plateauing or declining. And that's been true for some time now. And I could give you many statistics, because new ones are constantly being released, but they all tell the same story of decline. In a recent report, CBC News projects that 9,000 churches will close in the next decade. That's about one in every three churches nationwide. But it's not just churches declining. The overall percentage of people in general who identify as Christians in Canada is declining at 1% or more annually. So it dropped 24% from 2001 to 2021. So 24% decline in Christianity in Canada in just 20 years. We've never seen anything like that. That's not the direction that we want, of course. And so it should set off kind of some Great Commission alarms within our hearts at how plentiful the harvest is, because it's also now an opportunity. But it's not those. When I see that in the last five non-COVID affected years here at Oceanside, that we've been growing by 40% on average, it has my attention because of these other statistics. When I see we baptized a record 20 people last year and had 40 plus people go through Alpha for the first time to learn about the Christian faith, then, you know, I really just want to kind of fall on my knees and say, Lord, please continue to grant us favor. And grant us even more, Lord, because the harvest is so plentiful. But the workers, and kind of read or meaning here, just discipleship-making communities are few. So how can we continue to bring the hope of the gospel to the harvest? Well, let's spend the rest of our time now kind of looking forward and looking ahead to the future together, this year and beyond, by looking at three key things that we really need to do, and because I love alliteration so much that I've decided to use six P words instead of just three, because the harvest is just so big, it needs a lot of words to describe it. But we need to petition and pray, that's verse 38 here. We need to plan and prepare together as a church, verse 37, and then we need to proclaim and participate, verse 35 and 37 and 38. So let's start with that we need to petition and pray. This is quite obvious here. It says that Jesus says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." And in your life groups this week, I'll ask you to discuss, why does Jesus tell us to ask? Why doesn't he just do it? And you can discuss that. But Jesus wants to partner with us. I could have had another P word there. Partner with us. He says, come and ask me about this because I want you to feel my heart for the harvest first before I send you and others out to do it. Sense my compassion for the lost, verse 36. One of the best and really most encouraging signs for me in 2024 is that our last two prayer and worship nights that we had on Wednesday nights were attended by well over 100 people. Most churches say if you get about 10 to 20% of your average Sunday gatherings at a prayer service, that's a really good sign. It's indicative of health, and we've been getting way more than that. And I don't know who said this. It's not original to me in any way, but you know, they say you can maybe tell how popular a church is by its Sunday mornings. You can maybe kind of tell how popular its leaders are by some of the events that the church puts on. But you find out how popular Jesus is at the prayer meeting, right? So we have another prayer service coming up in less than a month. That's on Wednesday, March 5th. And one of our goals is to continue to do these more and more as time goes on. I'm also aware of several intercessory prayer groups starting to gather and pray for the church, sensing the urgency and plentifulness of the harvest. We also encourage you every day. I do this every day. I turn the alarm off a little bit over Christmas and stuff, so I just turned it back on. Every day at 10:02, we encourage you to do the 10:02 call to pray for the harvest. So you set an alarm on your phone for 10:02 a.m. or p.m., and we pray according to Luke 10:2. This is the other version of this story where Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers to his field. So every day at 10:02 a.m. for me, because I'm in bed by 10:02 p.m., the alarm goes off, and I just say a 30-second prayer. That's it. I say, Lord, raise up the laborers, the workers. I think of areas where laborers and workers are needed and begin to pray. So I encourage you to do that. But prayer at its best, what it does is it mobilizes us. Right? It sends us out on mission fueled by God's heart. So we can't just pray. Rather, as we hear from the Lord, we need to then act, which is why the next two steps are about that. So we need to plan and prepare, for the harvest is plentiful. Those of you who are agricultural or maybe you're farmers, you would know that if you want a big harvest, you got to plan for it, right? You got to prepare appropriately for it. You can't just randomly expect a big harvest to happen. And so we can't just petition and pray about the harvest, but we must then also plan and prepare for what the Lord wants. And as a church, we've seen this be effective. We have such a great faith story and history here to lean on. 10 years ago, you hired Hannah and I to come be your pastors when the church was under 50 people, couldn't really afford a pastor, and had one person under the age of 50. But you felt you needed to plan and prepare for the harvest by taking a step of faith and took a risk by hiring some, you know, fairly young, inexperienced pastors in their late 20s and early 30s, and now we're old and gray hair and all that kind of stuff, but once upon a time, we were young. And we came, we said, hey, we have to prepare for the next generation of Islanders and not just talk about reaching it. And so although we had almost no kids in the church except our two at the time, now four, we started creating spaces for kids. We started creating space, making room for children, preparing as if the Lord would send children. the harvest. And then we hired family pastors way before we ever needed them or you would normally hire them. And we did it in faith. Early on, they sometimes just had two or three youth come out on a Tuesday night. Now they're getting over 30 on Tuesday nights regularly. And I'm just a big believer that you have to have a plan and set goals in faith, not just hope that things will happen. Churches that grow and expand their influence are churches that pray for sure, but also plan. Right? They're not just slaves to the immediate, just trying to survive the demands of each day, only caring for the sheep that we already have among us. No, our eyes need to be on the plentiful harvest. And so I believe in putting things on paper and moving forward in faith. And if you look back at the faith goals we laid out back in 2021 for each year through 2025, they were just, really for lack of a more sophisticated word, they were pretty stupid, what we put down on paper. They were crazy. For example, we were averaging, you know, just barely over 100 people in 2021. We were coming out of COVID. Everything was still unknown. We were barely meeting. There were no life groups. We're losing people. And instead of playing it safe and conservative, we put on paper the following: that we'd hire a music pastor. We'd have life groups all throughout this area. We'd start a new outreach. We'd renovate our sanctuary and lobby. We'd add office space. We'd pave our parking lot, hire a full-time administrator, and have an average attendance over 250, all by the end of 2024, and we did it. It all happened. And that's just some of the things. So what goals were laid out back then for this year, for 2025? It amazes me just how perfect they are for where we are and the natural next steps that we need to take, even though these were written 5 years ago. We had a key phrase for each year we felt the Lord give us. The congregation was a part of this whole process back then, 5 years ago. And that was explore new horizons for 2025. We felt like that's where we'd be as a church. And so we had these two goals that we laid out for this year: to prepare to launch one significant multiplication effort, and then two, to multiply family ministries with the hiring of another pastor in that area. And again, it would really have been hard to imagine needing either of those back in 2021. We were just trying to stay afloat, but we were also dreaming about multiplication and having so many kids and youth that we'd need more help. And that's exactly where we're at right now. Now, I would say part of number one there was expanding the sanctuary here. Because actually that wasn't on the faith goals document back then. It just said that we were going to renovate. I don't think anyone ever really had the thought at that point of expanding or changing the entire direction of the room or knocking down walls like we did. But that's what happened. So that was and is a multiplication effort. It was almost like adding another service in terms of adding to the amount of people we were able to serve and making room. But in addition, we're going to begin just praying and exploring options, and we're going to invite you to pray with us on how we can multiply through either another type of service, planning a church, partnering with a church that's existing or struggling that needs help in their harvest. I don't have a lot of answers. I'm just telling you that we're going to start to pray, and we're going to start to try to hear from the Lord's heart and start the process. For the second goal here, I can tell you the process actually is started. That a job profile is almost ready to post. So right now, Thomas and Ellie, our family pastors, they oversee together four growing areas: kids, preteens, youth, and young adults. And it's a lot for them to oversee. And all those groups were very small and manageable when they started. And until recently, preteens and young adults really barely existed as a demographic within our church, but they have grown exponentially in the last 2 years. And so those are potential areas of responsibility that we're targeting for this new position this year. And then one last thing we have to plan and prepare for that's still left over from our faith goals from previous years is to renovate our washrooms. The reason we couldn't do that first or earlier is we eventually learned that we needed to actually redo our entire septic system before we could even consider adding more stalls or doing that and to have the capability. So the time and money had to go to that first. But we have two women's stalls for sometimes over 300 people here at once. That's not going to continue to work going forward, as those of you who have stood in line after big events know. So we got to fix that, so stay tuned. So we're planning and preparing for these faith steps. Lastly, the harvest requires that we proclaim and participate. It says that Jesus was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Then he said, the workers are few. Send out workers into his harvest field. It's going to take all of our participation for these things to happen. So how can you participate? Well, I want to draw your attention to these four documents that we have that are key for us to explore New Horizons. And I'm not going to go over them, but if you haven't carefully and prayerfully read through these, then please take them today. We've actually printed lots of them this week, so we have all four of them up here. We have them at the table back there, and we have them at the table in the lobby so that you can find them. But these four documents are a big part of kind of our roadmap for the future. So we want you to be familiar with them and to engage them so that we're ready for the coming harvest. And these represent a lot of the plan for reaching people, for discipling them, and then sending out workers on mission. So there's the Oceanside Journey here, which has been updated now that we actually have things on paper. So it's all about taking the steps towards becoming more fully devoted, fully mature, fully alive, part of our vision statement. We have at least six of these steps or courses beginning or about to begin. And they're available to sign up for on our website. And these will bond us closer together as a church, as well as help us, as our vision statement says, live as God intends and love as God loves. And so that's what these courses will help us to do. Our Pave the Way brochure has also been updated, and along with that, the giving booklet we talked about last week. And this outlines what we've been doing as well as what is to come. And amazingly, we've succeeded at completing phases one and two in here. So you'll see they're marked complete, which is awesome. Some people kind of laughed, not meanly, but when we put out this document and the cost and the numbers that were involved in doing those, but we did them. But in order to even think about phases three and four and to keep up with our current growth, we're going to have to, you know, work and give sacrificially together as so many already have. If we're serious about the harvest, we'll invest in the harvest. And so we have a book on giving as well. And then lastly, this is brand new. It's a community impact brochure. And so we're going to use this in our community, but also for us. It's all about how we're embracing the mission of God in our community and how you can participate and help and serve. So my advice is there's six kind of social justice type outreaches that we run as a church that are listed here in there. And just kind of pray through, you know, what's one that I can maybe be involved in it in some way or capacity, whether that's through prayer, whether it's through finances, whether it's through serving or something like that. These are six different ways that we're serving and meeting needs in our community on sometimes a daily basis and certainly on a weekly kind of basis that we have there. And these are about as important as it gets, because this is the crowd Jesus talks about, that we're harassed and helpless. And so we as a church need to have our eyes on the last, the least, the lost, the laughed at, the left behind. That has to be our focus, and that's what this is all about. So the harvest is plentiful. And so if we're serious about the harvest, we will do these three things. Right? We will petition and pray. We will plan and prepare. And then we will proclaim and participate in the good news and God's mission.